Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! A minute and a half past the hour, and we begin this midweek edition of The Horn. It is, of course, the 8th day of January, 2014. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. What we do, we call conversation radio. At HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, you will, of course, find access to the chat room. I heartily encourage you to jump into that conversation. The room is filling up as we speak. Jan's there, Lottie's there, Sparky's there, Todd's there, GK's there, I'm there, and many more will be as the evening progresses. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is also where you go if you want to catch the Listen live stream, or you can always use apps like TuneIn or Stitcher on your smart mobile devices. Other links for listening to non-Windows Media Player formats are available at whiterosesociety.org/Kincaid, K-I-N-C-A-I-D dot H-T-M-L. Try to make it as easy as possible. And, of course, also at the website, the PayPal button, which is how you keep all of this going. If you've been listening for rather a long time, you know that there are no Buy Gold Now ads here. There are no pitches for vacuum cleaners that pick up bowling balls and drop them on Swedish mattresses made of foam developed by NASA, upon which you can rest your head, which is growing hair upon it, as a result of the herbal hair regrowth remedies that would be hustled in. Yeah. So, no, all of those things don't happen here. It is entirely a matter of your determination to keep all of this going. And I'm proud to announce that we finished last night's fundraising goal. John got us started, and then Greg and Sophie and Bill finished it all off. So we start this evening with a clean slate and the typical, usual $150 fundraising goal for the given evening. And by any denomination you care to have, one at 150, two at 75, three at 50, six at 25, 15 at 10, 10 at 15, and on and on and on. And of course, also at the website, you'll find the traditional mail address, which is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318. Beckley, BECKLEYWV 25801. And remember, checks and money orders should not be made payable to Bob Kincaid, but to The Horn or Head On Communications or something similar, because they go straight to The Horn's bank account to pay our many bills. So, don't think for a minute that I don't know what day it is. Oh, but I do, brethren and sistren. It is the middle of the week. It is hump day. It's Wednesday. It's downhill to Thursday, Friday. Downhill, any way you slice it. But as much or more than anything else, brethren and sistren, ha! Hallelujah, glory. It's prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Yes, indeedy. Yes, indeedy. They stuffed themselves down in the fellowship hall, but we've chased the deacons. out of the parking lot where they was a smoking with the sinners this evening, ran them in through the vestibule, past that 20-year-old bowl of desiccated butter mints, and they're down in the front row where I can zip them if they start to nod off, as they're prone to do. So, in the meantime, we will, in fact, pass the plate, get the deacons moving, PayPal button's in the bottom, or just shoot me a note and say, it's in the mail, and it'll all count. Congregation filling up, Anthropogene has come into the room, as has Will from Chicago. Asa has got us started. He picked up the plate and dropped a 20 in it, so we've only got $130 to go as the plate passes among the congregation. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. We'll ask our minister of music, Mercy, to come forward and lead us in the offertory prayer. Brother minister of music, if you would, please, with every head bowed, every eye closed, except for when the plate comes by. You don't want to get cronked in the head, that's kind of heavy. Brother minister of music.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, mercy dotes and dozy dotes and little lambs and ivy. A kid of it, ivy too, when you. Hallelujah. Welcome, brethren and sistren, to the Cathedral of Common Sense. Now get out of them seats and come on down that blood-red aisle and fall on your knees at the altar and lay your hands upon the subwoofer, brethren and sistren, and feel the healing rays of common sense flowing through you from the server on high. This is the Cathedral of Common Sense. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Agitated Agnostic, Bob Kincaid, and this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn, brethren and sistren. It's been a while since we gathered together in prayer, and in that time we have had an absolute gathering of faith from all round about. It wouldn't be right on this here Prayer Meeting Wednesday if we did not pay heed to the teachings of one of Christianity's wisest men. We go now, brethren and sistren, courtesy the tireless work of our friends at rightwingwatch.org. We go now to hear the dulcet strains of Brian Fisher, because he's a mite upset, Mr. Brother Fisher is. That's how upset he is. Here we go.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Richard in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. Richard, welcome to Focal Point with Brian Fisher. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Brian.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to point out something that maybe most people hadn't really thought about, but the Ten Commandments are really the foundation of our laws wherever you go in this country.
Absolutely.
And by that token...
Oh, Will, the stupid is out of the gate and running hard. No, the Ten Commandments are not the foundation of the laws in this country. Laws have been rather seriously crafted in much more detail and with much more... Hammurabi, anybody? Can I get a Hammurabi? Hammurabi! Yeah, that's right, the Code of Hammurabi. Then there was the Code of Justinian, which was an expansion on the legal codes of ancient Rome, all of which informed the framers of the Constitution. But, oh well. Out in Bartlesville, the Ten Commandments is the foundation of all American law. That's why we have laws against working on the Sabbath. Only we don't. That's why we have laws that allow children to be taken outside the city gates and stoned to death if they are disobedient to their parents, which we don't. That's why we have laws that say that you must worship a particular deity in a particular fashion, just like the Ten Commandments say, only we don't. You see where this is going.
Those Ten Commandments belong there as a historical type document,
mm-hmm.
if nothing else.
Yeah.
And that's basically what I wanted to point out, because...
Historical document apparently means something different in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, than it does in the rest of the known universe, because historical means that somehow or another it can be verified as actually having happened, whereas there is no actual proof that Moses was a real person, or that most of the stuff contained in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy actually happened the way the book says they happened. It certainly is not, it was not written down contemporaneously, not by a long shot. Oh no. So maybe the Ten Commandments are a mythical document. That's not to say that they're untrue, it's just to say that they are colored by things besides facts. Maybe we could say that. Jeremy in Vermont. What, Edith? The Ten Commandments, you say? And moreover, which ones? Because, you know, there are multiple Ten Commandments. Oh, dear. But anyway, let's not confuse Bartlesville, Oklahoma.
I don't think any of our lawmakers really bring that in consideration, that those Ten Commandments are what we found our laws of this Judeo-Christian country upon. So.
All right, well, that's a great call, Richard, and thank you for that. I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, I think...
I wait all night for calls like these. You say there's a race of men in the trees. You're for tough legislation. Oh, yeah. Thanks for your call, Richard. And by the way, there's that Judeo-Christian thing rolling around again. You reckon the Judeo part of Judeo-Christian would kind of like to quit getting dragged into this? Or maybe could take ownership of this and say, listen, they're our commandments, not yours. Leave them alone. No. Oh, dear. Agnes just pointed out something to me. I used just an abbreviation. I said, getting ready to roll on PMW, meaning prayer meeting Wednesday. I just got told, you do know what that's an abbreviation for, don't you? Hmm. Don't look it up. I meant prayer meeting Wednesday. Damn it. But anyway, back to Bartlesville, or back to the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippistan. Let's find out about those Ten Commandments from Stanford University's most ignominious degree holder. And by the way, I would say that about Brian Fisher had Charles Manson graduated from Stanford.
It was Harry Truman. I don't have the quote in front of me, but Harry Truman made that explicit statement back when he was president in the late 40s. He explicitly said, look, our entire system of laws was built on the law that God gave to Moses on the Mount. That's the foundation stone. It's the platform for our entire system of jurisprudence. Great call. Appreciate.
Yeah, great call, great call. It is. It's the foundation of all of our jurisprudence. That's why we have so many people rotting in the prison industrial complex for coveting their neighbor's wife's ass. That's a big bad one, that ass coveting. Danny writing in, oh my God, Bob, I just tuned in time to hear that very disturbed man that has an abnormal obsession, if not fixation, on gay male sex, a.k.a. Brian Fisher. It's been one hell of a week, and that F-hole is about the last person to improve my week. Having said that, at least you're also there to make the conversation less depressing and more gay, shall we say. I swear I'm going to call when I stop working so damn much. Thanks, Danny. Thank you, Danny. Yeah, we haven't even gotten to the good part, Danny. And the Wetch Ediths are going to be rolling here in a minute, Jeremy. So, you know, just strap in. You know the drill. Right. Back to Brian Fisher.
Take that. And again, that would be one of the bases on which you could defend the erection of a Ten Commandments monument. It has.
No, really? The gay basher just said erection? Never quits. And the best part of it, because I'm seeing video here to go with the audio, granted you're not, at the time that he says erection, Brian Fisher has his hands out, palms facing, as if to say, an erection this big! Go, man. Go, Brian. Go, Brother Fisher.
Historical significance in the life of the American people. All right, let's go to Ronald in Dallas, Texas. Ronald.
Oh, God, the hits keep coming. Bartlesville, Oklahoma to Dallas, Texas. And poor old Brian Fisher. He doesn't have fun callers from Dallas like we do. Let's see what Ronald has to say.
Welcome. What's on your mind? Yes, sir, Ronald. Go right ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, how you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, he's doing great. That's what he told Richard. But what you wasn't listening, was you, Ronald?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Fine as frog's hair, just fine as frog's hair, Brian.
Truck driver right here, and I listen to you when I can.
Oh, God, I wonder if this is the same truck driver that was having the moral dilemma several years ago with the fact that he was driving a semi-tractor trailer load full of condoms. Oh, dear.
And when you talked about this Satan statue in Oklahoma City, was that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes, that Satan statue in Oklahoma, the very thing. Because, right, no, this, get the duct tape out. I'm just saying.
My gosh, I mean, you know, everything that is going on today, including this now. You know, this is in the Bible. I read my Bible every day. And
I hope not while he's driving.
I'm on my second go-around of reading the Bible.
Yeah, didn't get much out of it the first time.
And, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Sam, it all talks about, you know, worshiping false idols.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I guess people just don't really understand that there is a God, and this God will destroy you, whether it's...
Because that's how much he loves you there, God. He will destroy you, because he loves you so much. Great God.
Puffing the smoke or whatever. There's ways that God can come down on you And people like this, they're going to find out. And that goes along, I mean, and I'm just like you. I pray with our president.
Well, at least he's not coming down on Brian Fisher's erection. So,
yeah. For our president every day. But the things that he does is not toward God.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate you for taking my call.
All right, Ronald, thank you. You know, and you know, the issue beyond what...
Oh, boy, we're going to get some edumacating now.
Ronald is saying people don't believe in God. People don't believe in Satan. That's really one of the major problems here. People just laugh at this. They think, oh, it's harmless. Isn't that cute?
Yeah, but I believe in Kaiser Soze. That's for damn sure.
Kids sitting up in the lap of this satanic statue doing what? What was that phrase again? Sitting on the lap of Satan for inspiration and contemplation. They think it's harmless. Well, it's not. I mean, that is a representation of Satan. That's often the way he manifests himself to
people. Wait. Oh, okay. I'm going to back up because Brian Fisher is about to tell the world how the Prince of Darkness manifests himself to humanity. No, really.
Kids sitting up in the lap of this satanic statue doing what was that phrase again? Sitting on the lap of Satan for inspiration and contemplation. They think it's harmless. Well, it's not. I mean, that is a representation of Satan. That's often the way he manifests himself to people. When he wants them to see what he kind of looks like symbolically, that's how he shows up, this goat with the horns.
Well, now you know. When Satan wants to manifest himself symbolically, that's how he shows up. Now, I don't know what the word symbolically is doing in there, because we are after. He said, these right wingers, they have trouble with the word literally, and apparently now trouble with the word symbolically. If one symbolically appears, one isn't appearing, is one? No. But that just goes to show you how godforsaken stupid Brian Fisher is. Brian Fisher, Stanford University graduate, is, in fact, yes, a moron. He needs to get a Brian, moron. Thank you, Brother Albert. Can we talk about this goat business, please? Because that's what the proposed statue is. With an Indiegogo campaign, the Satanists of America, or whomever, whatever the name is, have raised $22,000. Because apparently there are $22,000 worth of human beings in this country who just want to stick a finger in Oklahoma's stupid anti-First Amendment theocratic eye. That's fine by me. None of my business. So, they've had a statue designed. And it's a berobed goat with the horns and the little billy goat goatee seated on a throne with a pentacle or pentagram. See, I don't necessarily know the magic words. Behind him, and there are a couple of little, you know, they look like they're pulled straight out of Fun with Dick and, you know, Dick and Jane, or, you know, Dick and Jane Go to School, you know, first grade readers from 44 years ago, if I recall correctly. Little girl, little boy, standing there looking up Baphomet. Goat boy. And that's what the statue would be that they want to put on the grounds of the Oklahoma State Capitol. They've submitted their plans. I'm sure that Oklahoma is all froth, obviously. They're calling from Bartlesville. But why? Why? has a goat been used as a representation of the Prince of Darkness, who, oddly enough, is also the bringer of light? Go figure. Or maybe that makes sense somehow. Why? Why the goat? Why the goat? Well, here we go. Way back when the early church was desperately trying to suppress the older religions against whom it was brutally biased, young Christianity could not live and let live with the other religions. Everyone else had to be suppressed and brutally slaughtered, if need be. And so long before, and I'm not talking about Christianity as it arose amongst the Jesus cult of ancient Palestine. I'm talking about the church that brilliant marketer Saul of Tarsus invented and took out into the civilized Greek and Roman world. Well, they had their own set of myths, and frankly, the Iliad and the Odyssey were considered by them to be very like unto the way that religious people think about the Bible. And there was an entire body of mythology that swirled around all of that. And it is no mistake that in early you ever wonder how Jesus turned out to be blonde-haired and blue-eyed? One word. Apollo. Because the Greek world was the first world outside Palestine to receive proselytization, there was a whole lot of overlay, just as Saturnalia became Christmas, yada yada. So too, there was overlay in the deities. And it would take another couple of thousand years for the dichotomy to be fully developed. It was Nietzsche, wasn't it? And let's not run down the Hitler highway on Nietzsche. But Nietzsche talked about knowledge, forms of knowledge. And man, this is really, really sort of broadly. I'm just speaking broadly here. But he described Apollonian ways of knowing versus Dionysian ways of knowing. And of course, Apollonian ways of knowing are cool and rational and devoid of emotion. Whereas Dionysian received wisdom, Dionysian knowledge, Dionysian revelation was warm and described as being deeply emotional. I mean, just look up the story of the Maenads. So there you've got Jesus Apollo, and by the way, his father becomes the reason he's a great big white-haired, white-bearded, juvenile delinquent in the sky. Zeus. Yeah, Zeus. You see, the people from whom, among whom, and in whose tradition, and of whom he was, Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer, they were forbidden from making graven images of their gods. So, you know, no statues of the big guy. No, that's a Greek thing. That's a Paul thing. So, while Apollo and Zeus just got transferred over into onto the good side of the force, guess who gets to be the bad guy? Because Dionysian revels involved sex and leaping around and playing music and dancing, I mean, there are still fundamentalist churches in this country where you don't want to be caught dancing. You know, there's one sect where you can't even have a piano in the church. I mean, not so much as a damned kazoo. You know, because the devil. So, Dionysus was the lord of, among other things, the grape and revelry and theater. And he was often represented by a goat or a satyr. You know how a centaur is half man, half horse? Well, a satyr was often represented as being half man, half goat, which is a really bad combination when you think about it. And even the Greeks recognized that the satyrs were quite mysterious or mischievous. Now, on the other hand, you want to talk about your demonic presences? No. You can look the rest of the world over, and you don't necessarily always wind up with a goat. Let's see. He's not exactly demonic, but, you know, the Scandinavian religions, they had Loki, who was a trickster god. And the native peoples had Coyote, trickster god. No goat. So, once again, Brian Fisher is simply stupid. Out there bloviating along on cultural topics of which he has no working knowledge whatsoever. Oh well. Like we're surprised. An anonymous contribution just rolled in. Thank you very much. We are almost halfway done with fundraising for the evening. We are at $70. Thank you very kindly. Very kindly indeed. Thank you, Ron and Raleigh. Hey, Bob, look out. There's weeds ahead. Yes, I know. Ron and Raleigh also asking, could it be Satan? Bob, to my knowledge, Lucifer, Old Nick, Mr. Scratch, etc., never laid waste to whole nations like Yahweh had a tendency to do. He just made bets with Yahweh to see if his followers would forsake him. Yeah, one of the best takes on that, by the way, ever done is a little-known piece of reader's theater that I always thought would be fun to see played out as an actual one act. It was written by Robert Frost, and it is called A Mask, M-A-S-Q-U-E, of Reason. And it takes place in paradise. And it involves poor old Job trying to pin down the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky as to why he did to him what he did. And you want to talk about slippery as an eel. That great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky is right slippery when it comes to him being cornered on what nasty things he's done. Irish Dave, going back to the word symbolically appearing doesn't mean what it appears to mean. Oh wait, prepare to die. Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. Yeah, symbolically.
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Nope, it don't. At least not where Brian Fisher is concerned. Irish Dave also asking, is Jesus a mistranslation of Zesus from the Aramaic to the Greek? No, it's from no, Irish Dave. It is from it's from the Reformed Egyptian. Well, we kind of stayed out of the weeds a little bit, but just kind of had to. Right. Sentient being in the chat room noting, flute playing goat boy Pan. You betcha. Lottie, ever the gourmand that he is. Now I'm in the mood for some nice curried goat tongue on rice. Under tooled leather. But what fascinates me is the number of people who take this crap seriously. Now, you know what? What I want to know, I hope they get to put their statue up. I really do, because Oklahoma badly needs a finger stuck in its eye over this. You know, just a, hey, Mo! But I'm waiting for the Indiegogo campaign that seeks to put up a monument to the Flying Spaghetti Monster. That I want to see. Because then we will know that Oklahoma has completely jumped the shark. Maybe a whole tank full of them. Or at least some really angry bass with laser beams. Will in the chat room noting, it is ironic, but Satan was originally portrayed as a prosecuting attorney, perhaps a bit zealous. Over time, he became seen as a rebel, an enemy from within. Satan isn't, Will, and you can tell me here, isn't Satan actually pronounced Shatan? Or something like that. I remember a lecture from a class in school years and years and years ago in which Shatan was described as meaning lawyer or advocate or prosecuting attorney. Shaitan. Right. That's the snake in the garden. An advocate or an adversary. Not that we want to bother Brian Fisher with any of that stuff. Or the people who sit around. Marveline, they're trying to put a devil statue there in Oklahoma City. What is this world coming to? You just know that Jehovah God is going to come down on that erection. Yeah, that wasn't lost on Jeremy either. The irony of this freak never gets old. No, that's the thing. Brian Fisher is just a gift that keeps on giving. Meanwhile, it turns out that the devil may not necessarily always show up as Goat Boy. Meh. Well, that sounds with reverb. Meh. Kind of fun. Okay. More elucidation. Steve pointing out, Satan means accuser. Fascinating. All right. So, like I said, he doesn't always show up as a goat or a blackjack dealer. Thank goodness. That we have Robert Jeffress out there. Remember, he's the one who said that Bishop Willard Romney was a member of a cult back during the 2012 election cycle? Well, he's nervous and worried and upset. The Sacramento Bee has the story about something that Robert Jeffress, megachurch pastor from Dallas, Texas, wrote in a book called Perfect Ending. What he wrote is this: although President Obama is certainly not the Antichrist, his policies are paving the way for the Antichrist. Maybe he's right. Maybe there is something inherently evil about giving welfare billions to insurance companies and then saying that it's actually health care reform. Who knows? Nah, I don't think so, though. Well, mainly because there's no such thing as an Antichrist. At least not one that's actually the devil. Wait a minute. The devil? For the first time in history, Brother Jeffress writes, a president of our country has openly proposed altering one of society's, not to mention God's, most fundamental laws, that marriage should be between a man and a woe man. Really, for the first time, no other culture has ever been tolerant of people being able to make the unions with one another which they choose as a matter of love, respect, adoration, liking? Never, nowhere, ever, at all? Oh, wait, you mean the great big juvenile delinquent in the sky god? Oh, okay, no, we got that cleared up. Brother Bob, when he finally shuffles off this mortal coil, that's not me, that's Brother Bob Jeffress. Brother Bob, who is gonna go to heaven and sing Hosanna all the live long day for all eternity. He says, while I am not suggesting that President Obama is the Antichrist, the fact that he was able to propose such a sweeping change in God's law and still win re-election by a comfortable margin illustrates how a future world leader will be able to oppose God's laws without any repercussions. Yeah. Because a couple of guys can pick out a China pattern, or a couple of women can go shopping for wall sconces, or initialed bathroom linens, the world is going to be dropped into a conflagration of horrible, horrible death and agony that will be the proof of how much Robert Jeffress's God loves us all. You got it? Okay. You can't make this stuff up. Here's another jewel from Robert Jeffress. I believe the preservation of America depends on pastors. This is no time for God's men to be passive. No privilege there. It is time to stand up and push back against all the evil in our country. Tell your people that they have a choice: to cast a vote for righteousness or vote for unrighteousness. He went on to also say that people who don't speak out against Obama being evil. No, wait. Evil! Are, in his words, quote, no different from German Lutheran pastors who didn't speak out against Hitler's growing influence in the late 1930s. Barack Obama, Hitler. Same, same. Man, it just makes your head swim, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. Oh, by the way, speaking of megachurch pastors, we'll go a little west of Dallas out to Arizona, Stan. Mission Community Church in Gilbert, Oklahoma is the location. About 6,000 people show up for its services when they open the doors. Their pastor, up until recently, we know how this is going to work out, has been a fella, you know, very charismatic, smiling fella, you know, one of those out of the Joel Osteen mold, by the name of Mark Connolly. It came as quite a surprise on a recent Sunday when the second string preacher stepped into the pulpit instead of Mark Connolly. And he announced that Brother Gilbert, no, Gilbert Church, Brother Connolly had resigned as pastor of their flock. Mm-hmm. Why do we ever even ask why in these cases? Yeah, well, over at azcentral.com, they have the answer. Parker Levitt, writing for the Arizona Republic, says, the lead pastor at Gilbert's Mission Community Church, which draws around 6,000 people to its worship services, has resigned after engaging in multiple extramarital affairs, church officials confirmed. Hey, wait a minute. Isn't that one of those commandments that they're so damn fond of? Well, they're fond of putting statues up to them, but not so much for living by them, you know. No, really. Church leaders asked for and accepted the resignation of Pastor Mark Connolly on December 30th after the married man confessed to the affairs, according to an announcement from the church. Church members received the news at worship services this past Saturday and Sunday. Yeah, this story is from yesterday. Executive Pastor of Ministries. Wow, what an organizational structure. Just like IBM. Executive Pastor of Ministries Gary Sutliff has been named interim lead pastor. I wonder who the cleanup pastor is. Don't ask. And the congregation will choose a... do you have, like, long relief and short relief pastors? I don't know. The congregation will choose a permanent replacement from among the leadership. We are committed to helping Mark rebuild his marriage, and we have offered all of the mercy and counseling resources of our church to help him and his family through this time, Sutliff said in a press release, because, well, you can't just trust Jesus to take care of these sorts of things. You need to get a press release out. In addition, we have offered the same resources to the women involved. Oh, I'll bet they're the same resources. No slut shaming at Mission Who's Church. No, I'm sure. Our priority right now is helping all those involved, including the people of our church, heal from this. Goodness me. The goddess of irony moved her fingers and snapped her fingers, and there it is. Mission Community Church got its start in 1995 as Superstition Springs Community Church. Thank you. Just, you know, thank you. Thank you. Addressing the faithful this past Sunday, Pastor Randy Thomas said, "We may be knocked down, but we are not knocked out. If ever there was a time for us to lean on each other, this is it." Church member John Berger went to Facebook to declare that he was staying right there. "My wife and I will be staying. The board of directors has done a fabulous job in dealing with this tragedy in a godly manner." Really? Fabulous? Godly? If it was godly, wouldn't they take him outside the gates of the church and stone him to death? I mean, this is a serious multiple violation of a single commandment, you know, that whole adultery thing. I thought stoning went with this. Connolly's buddy Brian Kaufman said, "Anybody is capable of anything. Mark is accountable for his actions, as he is well aware. My family will continue to love and support his family in any way we can." See, that's probably the problem. Mr. Connolly was out there giving a little too much love and support in any way he could. I love the tortured use of analogies by these fundies. In the same way, an orthopedic surgeon may break a bone, reset, and heal properly, so too has mission been broken. I have no doubt the church will endure, heal, and grow stronger despite ourselves. Right. And guess why the women are being offered counseling? In-house at the church. Right. Because, well, there are bank accounts to be protected from the godforsaken lawyers. I do so love prayer meeting Wednesday. Oh, by the way, back to Satan for a minute. Ron and Raleigh noting, "Hey, Bob, Satan showed up in an episode of The Twilight Zone as Sebastian Cabot one time." No, you cannot make me play the Sebastian Cabot actor reads Bob Dylan poet again. I can't do that very. It's just terrible. "Go away from the window, babe." Ain't me. No. Jesus. Yeah, I guess you could say that, Irish Dave. In this case, are there lesser included offenses? So, you know, just another day among the Bible-believing Christians. But lucky for him, all he has to say is, "Hey, Jesus! Yeah? Forgive me." Done. Now, does that include the strippers? Well, if you need it to. Yeah, probably a good idea. Done. Now, if I do this some more, are you going to forgive me again? Absolutely. You do whatever you need, and then just ask me, and I'll forgive you. And when you come up here for your angel wings and your harp and your halo, we'll just send you off to a little cloud somewhere to hosanna your eternity away. Ain't God good? Right. Oh, we got so much more fun prayer meeting Wednesday stuff to go. And it wouldn't be any fun at all without a visit from former liquor supply officer Marion Robertson. Oh, no. No. So it's 5 minutes before the hour. Here endeth the lesson. We'll take a break. And if you want to, chime right in. You know the number, 304-658-3333. Or on Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. And we'll keep prayer meeting rolling merrily along. This is listener-supported Conversation Radio, Prayer Meeting Wednesday. I'm Bob Kincaid.
My daddy played poker in the woods, they say, back in his younger days. Prohibition was the talk, but the rich folks walked to the woods where my daddy stayed. Jugs and jars and shiners, these old boys here, they ain't miners. They came from the 29ers that didn't take a hole in the ground to put the bottom in their face. Take his skin, peel from the bottom, put the ace in the hole. One hand on the trigger, but you never do know. Son, come running, you better come quick. This right good moonshine is making me sick. Chains on the door, they couldn't get in. I could see he tried. The shadows of the cage around the 40 white light. Shows up sides and gave a little bit of both away. The only blood that's any cleaner is the blood that's blue or greener. Without either, you just get meaner, and the blood you drink gives you away.
from the album The Dirty South, the patron saint band of the horn, the Drive-By Truckers, and Where the Devil Don't Stay. Yeah. A minute past the hour on this prayer meeting Wednesday, and like I said, yeah, got a lot to work through here. And yeah, Marion Pat Robertson, former liquor supply officer during the Korean conflict, and billionaire for Jesus, former presidential candidate, really? Yes. Was also emboldened in the spirit, I suppose, to opine regarding the global climate catastrophe during the recent cold snap. Pat, apparently, being another one of those right-wingers who doesn't know the difference between weather and climate. Oh, enough talking. And he's a wise, wise man. Well, let's let Pat tell this in his own words, maybe. Yeah, if we can get even a modicum of cooperation from the tired old production computer. Come on, this is too good. We'll try this again. We'll just see if maybe it'll work this time around. Because you need to understand why it is that global climate catastrophe is a big old hoax. Yeah, here we go.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the 700 Club. My friend Al Gore, and he is a friend, wrote a book, had a movie actually called An Inconvenient Truth. Did you see that?
Oh, do you remember all the people who out in Hollywood who watched it?
Oh, yeah. Well, he got a Nobel Prize for that. And, the inconvenient truth is it is getting cold, and some parts of America were colder than Mars. What?
Some parts of America were colder than Mars.
You can tell it's cold because Marion has his black turtleneck on and his heavyweight wool houndstooth jacket on over it. It's cold right there in the blessed CBN 700 Club studios, apparently. And all those people, because, you know, nobody else saw An Inconvenient Truth except people in Hollywood, just to be clear about that.
Hi, well, we've got a special story today about how come we could very well be entering another little ice age. Can you imagine a shipload of people going to Antarctica to discover global warming? They wanted to see how the ice sheet was melting, how the oceans were filling up with all of that water, how we're going to flood London and so forth. So they were down there looking, and guess what? Their ship got stuck in the ice. Those who've come to rescue it have gotten stuck. It's just incredible. It is a trap.
Yeah, because it's funny. Hear him laughing? Yeah, it's funny when people are in life-threatening situations and Jesus is laughing with me. Oh, somebody get the Aricept darts out, would you?
Tragedy, a play for the ages, and the United States is sending a Coast Guard cutter down. But anyhow, the prophets of climate change for decades have warned us that global warming...
Huh, how about that? They used to be scientists. Now they're the prophets of climate change. You know, standing out there on the street corner, screaming, babbling incoherently, just like wild-ass fundies. Same. Prophets of climate change. You got that? Good.
It's threatening life on Earth. It's going to flood Greenland. It's going to flood the Arctic.
Well, that's okay, Pat. It'll probably flood Greenville, too. Depending on which Greenville you're talking about, of course. Because there's several. No, it's going to flood Greenland. Goodness me.
The polar ice is melting. The Antarctic ice is melting. The oceans will rise. Civilizations will be inundated. There's just one problem. The Earth isn't getting warmer.
Except the fact that it is. I had confirmation from our friend Patrick in Germany today that, in fact, yeah, it's been right warm over in his neck of the woods. Let's see, what do we got here? Now it's warmed up considerably here. It's a toasty 32 degrees Fahrenheit here. But yeah, oh, here we go. Yeah, Frankfurt, 45 degrees Fahrenheit. Paris, well, about 1:08. Yeah, it's about midnightish in Paris. And it's 52 degrees. Don't anybody tell. Yeah, 1 a.m. in Frankfurt, 45 degrees. It'll be 52 by high noon. It's a comfortable 46 in Amsterdam. A very livable 41 in Berlin. But we're going to have a little ice age, says Pat. Go ahead, Pat.
In fact, it's because of the sun. The sun is now showing signs that we're headed for something very, very different. Global cooling.
How long have they been preaching this one? And by the way, we haven't even gotten to the fun part yet.
It's like it has been the last few days. I hope that doesn't come very soon. The so-called progressives, think of the money that we spent on Solyndra, for heaven's sake.
Bingo! You just knew there had to be a Solyndra reference there, didn't you? Solyndra is ancient Reformed Egyptian for solar power doesn't really work. Note rolling in from Marty. The world isn't getting warmer? Someone played Robertson's comment on the Australian outback. I want to see if anyone there has good arm strength and accuracy. No. It was 72 this morning in Sydney, by the way. But, like I said, we haven't gotten to the fun part.
I mean, a huge amount of federal money spent on that failed company. And all these green initiatives, I don't think one of them has worked out. And now,
nope, not one. All those thousands of wind turbines out there just turning languidly in the breeze of the Midwest and the Southwest, and not a one of them generating so much as a joule of electricity. Not a one. And the fact that California outpaced a lot of countries this year in deployment of renewable, sustainable energy, it's a fool's errand, because there's not going to be any energy produced because, you know, Jesus.
You know, if you kill an eagle up in the mountains someplace, they could...
What? How did we get to eagles? Let's see if we can follow this thread a little more closely.
We're headed for something very, very different. Global cooling. If it's like it has been the last few days, I hope that doesn't come very soon. The so-called progressives, think of the money that we spent on Solyndra, for heaven's sakes. I mean, a huge amount of federal money spent on that failed company. And all these green initiatives, I don't think one of them has worked out. And now, you know, if you kill an eagle up in the mountains someplace, they can arrest you. But if you have a wind farm that knocks down 100 or so eagles, and they do, then it's just part of the system. You've got to do that to avoid global warming.
I keep waiting for the clip that I'm going to see one of these days where somebody just walks onto the set with a butterfly net and carries Marion away. Marion? Oh, sorry, wrong show. Eagles? There's a wind turbine that's out there making eagle chutney? Eagle ceviche? Just little piles of eagles all around the wind turbines? Blimey. It still gets better.
You know, as I said, you know, it's getting warmer, you know, in Jupiter, and they don't have any SUVs driving around in Jupiter. I mean, it has nothing to do with greenhouse gases. It has to do with the action of the sun.
Oh, mercy. Global climate catastrophe on planet Earth isn't real because there are no SUVs on Jupiter. Never mind that an SUV on Jupiter would be crushed more easily than you can squeeze an empty beer can. Pressures and gravities and such. And never mind that there's really nowhere for the SUV to land, because it's not an entirely solid planet. It's a little star wannabe that just couldn't quite make the grade, Jupiter. There are no... It's about the sun.
It's either too much sun or not enough sun, but that's where the big driver of our climate comes from.
It's just hard to believe that there wouldn't be a lot of scientists in that international body that wouldn't stand up and say, wait a minute.
Think of how much money is involved. It's money. They're going to get a...
And if anybody knows about money, Marion knows about money. I mean, this is the guy who had his loyal followers purchasing Sea of Galilee mud mask from him. Guaranteed to be made with mud from the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus walked upon the water and then got a facial. I mean, blood diamonds. Yeah. Just from the other side of the spectrum, a tweet coming in from Jason. My 37 solar panels and $27 power bill tell me that solar energy does work. Oh, there you go, relying on that empirical data, Jason. Don't you know that stuff will get you right into the lap of that old goat boy. You have to have faith that the only hope for humanity is hydrocarbons and heating up the planet. You see the setup here? You think Marion might be invested in the occasional oil, gas, coal company? You think? Because, see, if the planet's actually cooling and we're on the way to a little ice age, well, damn it, we need to burn some more fossil fuels and heat up the planet some more so we won't freeze to death in the dark. What a hustler. What a brilliant con artist he is. Irish Dave pointing out, They do too, Patois. Kolob SUVs has opened a new dealership on Jupiter. We'll bust my buttons. Robert down in Australia, up in Australia, with a recommendation for us. Speaking of Satan, there's a wonderful little documentary called Andy Hamilton's Search for Satan, which you can find on the YouTube. Andy Hamilton is a British comedy writer. Goody. I've got something to watch tonight. Oh, I screwed up. Thank you, Jason, for the clarification. It's not Jason's 37 solar panels and $27 power bill. No. It's Jason's 37 solar panels and negative $27 power bill. Howdy. I guess Jason's one of those people that the folks at Alec are all pissed off about. Free riders! Yep. News Ninja Gene asking, does Marion have oil stocks? Gotta have that jobs program for the Cokes. Incidentally, here in the UK, about 52 degrees right now. That's 52 degrees, second week of January. Latitude roughly equivalent to northern Canada, 52 degrees, midnight-ish, 1 a.m.-ish, yeah. Marty with a trenchant question. Been to the surface of Jupiter, has he? Marty, he lives there. Little do you know, but that broadcast comes in from Jupiter. Ah, yeah, Irish Dave with an observation. Global cooling, or as it's known in Australia, solar vortex. Cute. Marty observing, in California, by the way, has been setting high temperature records with record frigging drought because the jet stream is all screwed up. Little ice age, right? Sure. All right, Pat, finish up. Skip a bit, brother.
River of money. He said it was $250 billion. That is a tremendous amount of
and
money.
Growing, yeah.
And growing. And growing. And so you fund these chairs in universities, you have think tanks discussing it, and then you have politicians who want to take control. And the progressives always want control, just like this health care initiative, they want control. The EPA in America wants control of all of our...
precious bodily fluids, Pat?
Energy, our carbon emissions and all this. They want to control oil and gas. They want to control coal. They want to control these things. And this is a wonderful way to get control.
Yeah. That's what it's about. Getting control. Steve with a question. Is Jupiter near Kolob? Kolob is anywhere you need it to be. That's the fun thing about Kolob. Irish Dave pointing out, these are the end times when it's warmer in Paris, France than Paris, Texas. You betcha. We're not done, but I'm going to go to the phones. You know the number, 304-658-3333. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, there's so many places I could go with Marion right now.
Take our Marion, please.
He would know something about investments in the coal industry because he owns 2 to 3 very ancient coal mines in the form of his blood diamond mines he owns, where he's made millions and millions and millions. He would know about excessive beatings and killings over people who basically mine with their hands and sticks.
Right.
And
but remember, remember, whatever evil he paid to have perpetrated over there, just remember, all he has to do is say, "Forgive me," and it's all taken care of. And he qualifies for the wings and the halo and the harp.
Well, and he'll be first in line, you know, of course. So between that and the no SUVs on Jupiter, that one really got me rolling good.
I had to listen to that clip a couple of times before I could even talk about it with a straight face.
And I hear all this news people posted on Facebook and on social media. Oh, if you think it was cold here today, it was 8 degrees on Mars. Yes, in certain parts of Mars, it was 8 degrees. In craters, it was 8 degrees. On other surface parts, it was well over 100 degrees.
See, that's living proof, Jeremy, of this old adage that a little knowledge is a dangerous thing.
Yeah, I mean, they hear about it was 8 degrees. Yes, like I said, that was in a black, dark crater. The surface of Mars is anywhere between 100 and 300 degrees on certain days, and at night it can be well below zero, into the hundreds below zero. So when they take a little arbitrary fact and say, hey, if you think it's cold here, look at Mars, which is next to the sun, and it's cold there because it's not in the sun's direct beam right now.
Well,
And they beat this up on Fox for, like, all day yesterday. And between that and the Russian discovery ship, which finally was freed from the ice because the wind stopped blowing.
I've got an idea. I've been suggesting it for years. The right wing, they have this thing about referencing Mars. I want them to go there. I mean, because, let's see. It all started back when 1L Michelle Bachmann and some freak from Texas, Joe Barton, I believe it was, spent time on the floor of the House opining and fulminating about the fact that CO2 is a naturally occurring substance that occurs in nature, and that therefore it is good for you. And we all know Mars has a CO2 atmosphere, as much as it has an atmosphere. So I want them to go there. And you know what? They can stop by the asteroid belt and mine some minerals and stuff. Who knows what they can do to wreck the red planet? Get busy, folks.
Well, I don't know if you heard. There's been over, I think it was something like 5,000 applicants for what will become a 5-year mission to Mars in like 2023. 5,000 people have applied for this. It will take them 5 years to get to Mars. Floating through space. If you put a bunch of these right-wingers in the same pod for 5 years, they'll all die within the first couple of days.
Oh, they'll eat each other.
Which isn't a bad thing. No, they're like Dahmer party in space. They just get bored and start eating each other.
Yeah, five years is a lot for just about anything. And when you can't get away from your buddies, no.
I mean, not to mention they're most likely won't be gravity on the ship, so they'll be floating around when you're not.
Yeah, and they'll have all the things that come with no gravity. I mean, it's apparently not good for human beings to exist in zero gravity for a real long time. Some things do begin to go sideways.
No, that's why people that have stayed on the space station have to work out vigorously several times a day for a couple hours at a time because you lose bone density and it screws up a whole bunch of stuff.
Isn't there anemia involved too? And
yes, because you need gravity to make your body work the way it's supposed to work. It's a known fact. So for 5 years of floating around in space, I can't imagine at least someone will die in that 5-year period of that trip there, if not more.
Well, how many slots is it again?
I think it's something like 25 or 50, and it's a one-way trip. There's no coming back.
Well, I did see a story earlier today about a French woman who wants to take that ride.
Again, it's a one-way trip to a barren planet. There's nothing there. They're going to land on a rusted-out moon surface.
Yeah, this woman's name is Florence Porcel. She's a Parisian. And she said, "I've always felt a bit cramped on Earth. I've always dreamt of exploring other worlds. I'm not a pilot, nor a doctor, nor an engineer. I was never going to become an astronaut through the normal channels. She's a journalist. And apparently she's made it down to the 1,000 cut list for something called Mars One. And Mars One seeks to, and of course it's a private for-profit venture, they seek to colonize Mars beginning around 2024, 10 years from now.
Yeah, it's a private venture. Nothing to do wrong with that. That'll be fine and dandy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they'll get the best and they'll pay their families well because, like I said, they'll never see them again. If they even make it to Mars, I have a sneaking suspicion they might miss the planet and keep going.
Well, you're going to love this part. I'm just sitting here looking at the remainder of the Agence France Press story. It turns out, guess how they're going to fund the trip to Mars?
They're probably going to crowdfund it.
Nope. It's going to be funded by a reality TV show about the project.
Oh, speaking of reality TV, Bob. There's a new, I want to say it's on the Sci-Fi channel, and it's the $1 million Find the Bigfoot quest.
Oh, no.
It's either $1 million or $5 million.
I guess another old building will go up in flames when they start getting high.
No, it's worse. It's a $10 million, remember this now, $10 million prize, which is backed up by some British bank who has the money sealed away. We're definitely going to give it to you when you bring us to real live Bigfoot. And it's hosted by Dean Cain.
The stupid. It burns as us.
Yes. So that was kind of funny. I mean, it's guaranteed $10 million, which in my heart of hearts, I'd love to think that Bigfoot exists or something like that. I really would. But it is such a tarnished area by people like the hoax that makes fun of it because whatever reason. I really want to believe there's a Bigfoot. I really do. But it's been so tarnished by people like a guy named Rick Dyer, who is the guy that now is peddling photos saying this is Bigfoot, even though it looks like a thing from the Lord of the Rings. So I don't know. I just don't know. But the Marion thing, he's outdone himself tonight with the talk of global warming being a hoax and going to Jupiter in an SUV where, like you said, you'd either be crushed or burned up depending on what happened first because temperatures inside, they say that red ice storm on Jupiter over 1,000 degrees. Yeah.
It'd be a good time.
It'd be a great time. Not to mention it's been raging for 800 years, never stopped.
Yeah, lovely real estate. Just lovely.
Oh, well, Pat really took it away from me tonight. He just threw me away.
He can be kind of devastating, Jeremy.
Especially when you take... The most maddening thing of all is the blood diamond thing. He just can, like you said, basically walk away, wash his hands, and atone all sins of it, and say, I'm sorry before he dies, and poof, he's magically forgiven. Even though he's probably sent a few hundred people to their death mining those goddamn things. Which are so violently mined that they've been banned in many countries around the world, including the United States.
Oh, update coming in. Ron and Raleigh just wrote, according to HuffPo, Ron says, some hunter claims to have shot and killed Bigfoot.
Yeah, his name is Jeremy Signa, and there's also Rick Dwyer. Rick Dwyer is the one that's posted the photos, and it looks like a dwarf from Lord of the Rings. He's been doing this since last year. He's a known hoaxer. The Jeremy Signa guy, who's a whole different guy, that was in, I want to say, Texas. Same idea. He says, well, here's the full story. He was out hunting with his buddy, the road hunting, you know, big-time hunters hunting from a vehicle on the side of the road. He got out, scoped out something, threw his scope. He looked at it. He knew it wasn't a bear. His friend and him knew it wasn't a bear. They thought it might be a human in a ghillie suit hoaxing a Bigfoot for people out there. And he claims his friend said, don't shoot, don't shoot, don't shoot. He looked up at the gun again. Said it shouldn't be there, so he shot it. They went over. It wasn't there. his friend went off to track it down, supposedly. And this is the story gets even better. He then said that a juvenile Bigfoot came out of the woods. He did the same exact thing to the baby. If it was real, he shot and killed it, summarily executed, never took a photo of it. And said that he would do it again in a heartbeat if given the chance.
How does he know it wasn't? How does he know it wasn't a chupacabra?
No, the point is that he said that he killed an adult and then happily killed a baby just as easily because he could.
Right.
Which makes him sound like a psycho in my book, that you kill any young being for any one.
Yeah, but you know what? We need him out there protecting freedom with his Second Amendment remedy.
Wasn't even so much that. He didn't say it in those terms, but from his voice, I heard the interview, he really was preaching it from a religious standpoint, that this thing shouldn't exist, so I need to get rid of it. Basically, the Bible says it shouldn't be here, so it needs to die. That's what I take from it. But, like I said, there's two different people out there. This guy I'm talking about right now, he's pretty sure it's a hoax, and he's just trying to get attention. The Rick Dwyer guy, he's famous for hoaxing, so I have no doubt those photos that are posted are fake and that he's a fake. Now, I personally have friends who have lived in all different parts of the country, some in Oregon, some around here, who are real hunters, and they've been out in the woods, and a couple of them say their fathers have told them about things they've seen in the woods they can't explain. We've all had those experiences. We don't know what they are. They think it could have been what the mythical Bigfoot is. But to take it away from that for a second, about 10 or 15 years ago, a lot of people didn't know this, but a Native American shaman, for years and years and years, to hone in on their craft, they would separate from their tribe, literally walk away from it, go live in the woods by themselves for 5-6 years at a time, maybe 7 sometimes. In that time, they wouldn't bear a regular shower, they wouldn't have any clothes other than the clothes they skinned from the animals they killed, and they wouldn't get very many haircuts. And occasionally, these people would encounter hunters in the woods because they're living in the woods on whatever ground, and people would see them, a hairy person, unshaven, in tarnished clothing, and that's one explanation for what people may have been seeing. Not all the cases, but quite a few of them, I would bet, would be a shaman.
But, you know, there's also something else at work here. It occurs to me, Jeremy. When white folks first came to this hemisphere, they began the process that is understood as a matter of shorthand as the Columbian Exchange. You know, the Europeans brought death and disease and metal tools and things like that, and the exchange part of it involves the fact that the Western Hemisphere completely rewrote the entire global diet, everything from sweet potatoes to tomatoes and chili peppers and corn and beans and squash. Not a very fair bargain in my book, but inside of a couple of hundred years, the entire biological signature of the Western Hemisphere, and especially North America, not so much South America or the Amazon Basin, but definitely North America, had been radically altered. You know, by 1900, there were practically no, as I've said before, no deer left in Appalachia, where once upon a time, buffalo literally roamed, and so did elk. And you know, not like thousands of years ago, a few hundred years ago. Now, when you consider all of that, think about, I mean, you know, we eliminated the passenger pigeon. We drove bison to the brink of extinction. Now, how is it that we would do all of those things and somehow miss a 6.5 to 7 foot hairy creature and not do the same thing? You see what I mean?
I understand the argument about that. And I know there's counter arguments. I know what you're saying. And the buffalo thing is true because I've seen the pictures from the turn of the century of basically what amounts to mounds of dead buffaloes that went to waste because we chose to just shoot them for the sport of it.
Yeah, they had tourism trains where people would just shoot their rifles from the passenger car windows just to be killing buffaloes.
Yeah, you said something and now I'm losing my track of thought about...
Sorry about that.
No, you were saying something that jogged my mind about how everything's changed and the unfair... Yeah, I totally lost my place where I was going to say, because I had something good to say, but now I've forgotten.
Well, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. You had a good point, so I understand. I guess at this point I'm kind of speechless because I lost what I was going to say, so I'll let you go and someone else can pick up where I've left off.
All right, Jeremy, have yourself a good evening.
You too, thanks.
All right, bye now. Calling from Vermont, that's our buddy Jeremy. A note coming in from Robert up over. It's overcast and 75 degrees Fahrenheit here in Sydney at 11:18 on January the 9th, 2013. And every third or fourth house around here where I live has a couple of solar panels on the roof. As for the fourth planet Jupiter, As for the planet Jupiter, it's 4.2 astronomical units further from the Sun than Earth. That's roughly 400 million miles. It consists mainly of hydrogen and helium and has no solid surface, most likely a liquid core of some sort. Yeah, it was a wannabe star. It gathered together all of that mass and just couldn't get the spark going. As for one-way trips to Mars, Robert says, such journeys have been done before. There's nothing really new about that. But 5 years to get there, what are they doing? Rowing? Well, you got ratings. Jim noting, as far as missions to Mars are concerned, oh, please send Honey Boo Boo plus the Kardashians to Mars, or are they from there already? You can make that argument. Marty says he'd go. You got to die of something. Why not go out doing something no man, okay, no one, has done before? And, Robert with a correction. Did I mishear the flight to Mars time? I checked their site, 210 days, not 5 years. But I agree, anyone who goes is in for a very tough time for the first 5 to 10 years, at least until they can build a larger base, because initial living conditions look very cramped. But then again, some people here on Earth live in worse. Indeed. What else do we have this evening, this prayer meeting Wednesday? This isn't Marion specifically, but a new claim has emerged from the Christian Broadcasting Network. It ran a video piece ran today. A mighty power is our Marion Robertson. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
In the spring of 2013, Darren Reitnar started having pain in his lower left jaw.
Pain was actually excruciating to the point I couldn't even open my mouth at times. Really, it was hard to even eat, sleep, talk, really anything. It just made life miserable.
Darren visited a dentist who said his only option was to have surgery on a wisdom tooth.
I did not want to do it whatsoever. I tried different prescription pills and things. It eased the pain, but it didn't cure it altogether.
In June of 2013, Darren was watching the 700 Club when Terry Musin started praying.
He says, I really feel the Lord's telling me someone's being healed in their lower jaw.
Someone else, you have an infection in a wisdom tooth that's actually gone up into the bone in the jaw. God is completely healing that for you.
I didn't really even think of it at first, and I'm like, wait a minute, my jaw isn't hurting anymore, you know? That's when I realized that was for me. For me to have that, it was a very personal feel for me. It was like, you know, for someone like it was very far away down in Virginia to have that God telling them for me, you know, that was just an awesome experience.
Within days, all the pain left Darren's jaw.
I was blown away. I haven't had any problems with pain, not even so much as twinkling of anything in it. It helps me, you know, knowing that God's there to heal. You know, I can tell others, and it just encourages them, no matter how small or how great. And, you know, no matter what you're going through, what you're struggling, He's there, and He's the great creator, the great healer, and He's there to help us.
Yeah, okay. So, Marion, can questions come to mind? God listens to Marion, but not to that dude? The lack of self-awareness in these things is absolutely stunning. So while God was busy healing your wisdom teeth, really? Okay. You better hope you don't lose a finger or something, because Marion is not going to be able to get that thing grown back. But what's really fascinating is in this whole piece here, there's no attempt at verification that the man even still has his wisdom teeth. There's certainly not a photograph of him sitting in a dentist chair with a camera peering down into his mouth to look at the wisdom tooth in question. New? Not at all. We're just taking it on faith. Yeah. In a country that doesn't provide anything resembling dental coverage, I guess this is where we wind up. Oh, and by the way, simply because, well, it's unavoidable because it's prayer meeting Wednesday. You know, the only person, Brian Fisher is not the only person who broadcasts over at American Family Radio and of the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi stand. They also have Sandy Rios. Now, you may remember I said something earlier about the Fundy Bible Thumpers having a hard time with analogies, those just like moments. Yeah, Sandy Rios has the same problem. Just like.
I have a couple of observations.
All right.
One real quick one. You see what the Obama administration is doing with the Constitution. Go back to the...
And what is that? Oh, he's shredding it. That's right, because he's a Kenyan Muslim usurper, anti-colonialist with a deep-seated hatred of white people. Okay, yeah, I'm there. I got it. I'm on board. I'm on board.
Early 30s and watched the Nazis rise. Exactly the same thing that happened then.
Yeah. Did you hear her? Yeah. Exactly. Now pay attention to the language. Exactly the same thing happened then. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Michael, I think that when you look at how I say I've made comparisons to Mao Zedong too, not complete always, but the left has a method, and they always repeat their method, and so the method is being repeated here. I totally agree with you, and we're watching it.
No, they're not kidding. They really believe this stuff, I guess. Emphasis on the word believe, which is the single most dangerous word in the English language. Despite that this Kenyan Muslim socialist proves not to be much of a socialist insofar as, well, you know, think about the bank bailouts and whatnot. My No self-awareness at all. No awareness of history. No awareness of context, propriety. Where are the ovens? Where are the work makes you free signs? Where's the cultural revolution? Where's the great leap forward? Where are the re-education camps? I mean, you know, where President Not Sure is concerned. This is just like Hitler and Mao. Just like. Golly Moses. I got nothing for explaining how what passes for brains inside their heads work. Oh, okay. Marty with a clarification. Sci-fi offering $10 million to find Bigfoot? No, it's the cable channel Spike TV that's running that new scam. I have much to be annoyed with sci-fi with, but this isn't one of them. Okay, thanks, Marty. Regarding wisdom teeth, Robert in Australia, noting, my wisdom teeth all started to come down and out when I was about 24. I went to the dentist who said to have them out. It's quite common. I had all four out at the same time. It was painful for 2 weeks, and the jaw was sore for about 6 months. And that was that. P.S. I had to pay in cash because Medicare doesn't cover dental, but I made up for that in a couple of years by not having to pay for dental insurance. Wouldn't it have been nicer? Wouldn't it have been far easier, Robert, just to have some braces of healing placed upon you? Oh, dear God. Just ask Pat. He'll fix those wisdom teeth for you. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. First time caller.
Welcome aboard.
You could always just go to the Inquisition to get your dental work done. I mean, you know.
Yeah, they, and can I have a first name, please?
Devin.
Devin, okay. Well, thank you for calling in. Yeah, the Inquisition was quite good with a pair of pliers, I hear.
Oh, yeah. Well, they were good with other things, but don't really want to get into that.
I understand. Yeah, they missed out on the whole never play with fire thing, among other things.
Well, then they missed out on that whole, you know, putting things where they don't belong thing, too, so.
I get it.
They missed that episode of Sunday School, so. But, I can definitely confirm, you know, all you've had to say about the evangelical activities. I had the misfortune of going to one of those schools for about 8 years, and
And it sounds like you came out with your brain intact, and that's more than a lot of folks who go to evangelical school can say.
Yeah, well, you know, I kind of had to teach myself, and I guess until about 14, I was, I was a fundy too, not so much on the religious side, but the political side. And I met a very nice fellow from the Bronx who, you know, happened to be Jewish, but from the old guard, you know, the 60s. I guess they would have called them radicals back then, but he enlightened me. Of course, this would have been around the time of, the Patriot Act and all that.
Around what, 2001, 2002?
Yeah. So that was a big eye-opener. And needless to say, I... I became rather unpopular with the fundies.
Well, they did. Yes, absolutely. They don't cotton to having any of their, and it's all belief. There's no fact based anything there. They don't care to have any of that challenged.
Oh no. In fact, I, as a student, had to help the others with what little bit of science they got.
And what was the science like?
The whole, they didn't come out and say that the universe was, 5,000 years old, but basically all but. And
wasn't any evolution now, was there?
No. Not at all. I mean, you got some basic chemistry or, it was very basic, very, very crude. You'd get, some biology, but it wasn't, it wasn't the kind of thing that you would expect that somebody would be taught in a school. And basically, it was all out of these, these thin, basically workbooks. It was a alpha and omega curriculum. That was the company that made it.
Yeah, because I know there's another publisher. What is it? A Becca. You ever heard of that?
Yeah. Folks always said that one was easier, so I guess you could read in even less information that was of use in it, I would say.
Mercy.
Yeah.
So how did you find your way to once the lights had gone on and everything, what kind of a journey was it toward rationality?
Well, wasn't very far. Like I said, I wasn't really a fundy in the religious sense. Basically, I just kept my mouth shut there for the most part. But the political was not quite so difficult for me to, adapt to, because I was, more fact-based anyways. And, once I saw the facts, there wasn't much going back. The old, you can't unsee or unlearn something, so.
Right. What is seen cannot be unseen.
Yes. And, unless you get, spongiform encephalitis or something, but, that's...
That's not much in the way of a remedy, though.
Yeah. Yeah. But, it's taken me a lot of years to, get to where I don't think about it much. And it's, not a fun thing.
But other family members remain in the flock. Did I understand that right?
Not really. They weren't really into it to begin with. Basically, I had trouble with public schools, so that's how I ended up there.
Oh, okay.
And basically some learning disabilities and difficulties, a lot of bullying and that kind of activity, from the public school. And
right,
so I ended up in this alternative because
I know a little bit about the bullying in the public schools issue. We've dealt with it quite a bit in the last few years.
Particularly on the bus, that's the worst.
Right, because the bus driver has to be paying attention to the road, and meanwhile, all hell breaks loose behind her or him.
Well, yeah. Well, and the other thing is that a lot of the drivers, they just if they see something, they just don't care. They don't give a damn. And
if you don't mind my asking, where were you growing up?
Barber County.
Oh, West Virginia?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that's...
Yeah, you...
Yeah, so, what, my Philippi around there?
Yeah, outside of Philippi.
Okay.
Between Philippi and Parsons.
Okay, I know where you're talking about. Well, it's great to have another fellow Mountaineer call the program. I hope this will not be the last time.
Oh, well, I don't think it will. There was something else I was wanting to talk about, if we have...
Oh, absolutely. Bring it on.
The thing I was wanting to talk about was this whole job creator thing. I notice sometimes that when you discuss jobs, sometimes you'll slip up and you'll use the word creation or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And what you have to realize about that is every time you use create or creation or any of its derivatives, you're basically acknowledging their worldview.
Yeah, I know, and like you said, I do catch myself, and I've actually tried to think about ways to refer to it without using it.
Yeah, and any time that you do, though, if you have a discussion with someone, once that creeps in there, they've won. I mean, that's it really is a religion.
Oh, and see, so much it's hard to work around sometimes, Devin, because just the language that I grew up with, my mother, for instance, would not say the brown word if she had a mouthful, as the saying goes. So I grew up with things like, heavens to goodness, what in heaven's name, what in creation is going on here? And so it becomes sort of linguistically hardwired, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Especially out of a tradition like Central Appalachia.
Of course. But what you get into, for those who may not think about it much is, creation is a divine act. If you look into even in a dictionary, it's a divine act. It's something from nothing, and quite frankly, there is nothing new under the sun, as
Ecclesiastes.
A little passage there in the book that they tend to look over a lot, but.
Yeah, you mean the one that they thump but don't read?
Yeah, precisely. Yeah, well, the other thing was, they would make you memorize Psalms, which is like the most asinine thing that you...
Create in me a clean heart and a clean mind, O God. Or a clean mind and I forget. Yeah, mercifully, I've forgotten more. But yeah.
Well, I couldn't remember them to begin with, so I ended up writing a lot of them. But
well, you have a question coming in from Kevin in Colorado Springs, Devin. He says, "I'd like to know if the bullying was worse, the same, or more in the private Christian school."
Well, bullying from other students was pretty well non-existent. It was a very small group, so and. We tended to stick together, like POWs. So,
yeah, mutual protection.
Yeah, to the extent possible. I mean, sometimes, somebody would get their beating or torturing out of information or. Not necessarily truthful information, but, whatever made it stop kind of thing.
Right.
That, the children of the people running the place, They never tried out the aluminum yardstick on me because, well, they knew better.
It wouldn't have worked out well in the end.
Well, let's just say that there would have been blood involved, and it wouldn't have been mine. So, because I just wouldn't. You know, somebody did something like that to me, that would be. I would defend myself, you know. Particularly if I didn't have it coming.
Right.
You know.
Another Appalachianism. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Justice is involved. If you got it coming, it's one thing.
Well, yeah. But honestly, I don't think anybody had it coming. So, you know.
Right.
But, you know, at least that place is closed, so that's one silver lining. It closed shortly after I left, so. Of course, you know, I went and they had held me back a few years, and, but, you know, as soon as I hit 18, I got the GED, and I'd had the highest score on GED that had been in this county, so.
Did you go off and pursue further studies, or?
Well, yes, I was out of school for a few years. You know, it was a tough thing to even try to think about some kind of education after that experience.
Right.
But eventually I went to what amounts to trade school, something called the Robert C. Byrd Institute of Flexible Manufacturing. And, you know, learned to be a machinist.
Good skill.
And
good trade.
Yeah, and you know, of course, that comes with a 2-year degree from Marshall, so, which for somebody up this way, you know, there's a lot of people who wouldn't go there just because of the
Marshall. Yeah, this state is well divided. I don't know if you get down to Charleston very often, Devin, but for a while there's been a billboard right hard by the highway as right if you're westbound on 64, it's right before 64 splits off and 79 starts heading north, and it just says Marshall, best decision ever. And lo and behold, I noticed the last time I was coming back through that way, WVU couldn't stand it anymore, so they had to put up a WVU billboard on the other side for the other lane to see.
Oh, God. Well, you know, the guys there in the program, they they always referred to it as the thundering turd.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Or blundering. Blundering.
Well, I hadn't heard the blundering one, but, yeah, that was an interesting experience, too. I mean, we had all kind of people in there.
So are you still working in that trade?
Well, I'm not really working at all at this point. My health is disintegrated. And
funny how that happens in Appalachia. Not funny at all. I mean, I'm not making light.
When I had first got out of high school, I went to work at a coal laboratory. And, you know, one of my wonderful tasks was the pulverizing of samples down to, like submicron levels.
Mm-hmm. That's not good for you?
And then, you know, blowing out the pulverizer with an air gun, you know. And I can tell you, even when I was wearing a respirator, 1000 filters, my face was still black.
Oh, sure. And, you know, that's why I've been so moved by the stuff that I've learned about the so-called ultrafines, because P1000 is freaking huge. I mean, it's a boulder compared to the size of an ultrafine. And
well, that's, you know, that's 1 micron, basically, P1000.
Yeah, that's 1 micron, and an ultrafine is anywhere from a tenth to 1/100th of a micron.
Yeah.
And those things are the most fascinating thing that I learned from Dr. Michael McCauley is that he and his colleagues who examine these sorts of things have thus far stated pretty with a high degree of certainty that there is no such thing as a benign ultrafine. It doesn't matter if it's if it was an ultrafine particle of a freaking Twinkie, it would still wreak havoc inside a human body.
Oh yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. It could be, you know, something inert like gold, and it wouldn't you wouldn't matter. But and of course there was the other wonderful substance, perchloroethylene, and then some other stuff that you mixed with it to get a certain specific gravity. The other stuff, they called it camel piss, but I don't know what its proper name was.
Yeah, I don't think that's its chemical signature.
No, but you know, I never really paid attention or got to see the barrel, so all I know is you you mix the two together in a 5-gallon bucket, and you dump a sample in, and the coal would float. Now, you know, anything that'll make coal float is probably not
not good.
No. And you know,
you worked around those chemicals, Devin. Now think about the stuff they're using in fracking.
Yeah, I mean, you know, basically whatever waste product that they could want to get rid of is what they would pump down there. I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff in there that, quite frankly, just serves no real purpose. You know, in those 500 chemicals, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I know they were flaring, I don't know, a few miles from here one night, and the exhaust from that was blowing right here by the house, and you know, usually this stuff comes out pretty clean. You know, you don't see soot or anything. But this night, it was like sooty, smoky, nasty. It made me pretty sick. Now, I don't know. I guess the frack fluid was coming out in the flare stack or something. But
and how far is that from any one of those flaring operations? Any houses nearby? Any homes?
Well, yeah. You know, there's homes scattered all over out here. It's not, you know, it's not as desolate as if you you go on the other side of the mountains. You know, this side of the mountains pretty well populated. You know, people are scattered out. You know, you're hard pressed to go more than a mile, you know, and not find
right
sort of civilization.
And you know, it's a lot of people don't realize it, and I suppose a lot of West Virginians don't even think about it, Devin. But there really is a stark difference between the two. I mean, there are two West Virginias. You are in a very different West Virginia from the West Virginia I am in, for instance.
Well, and, yeah, you're in the other West Virginia.
Yeah, you're in the fracking sacrifice zone, and I'm in the mountaintop removal sacrifice zone.
Yeah, well, we have some mountaintop removal up here, but not like you.
Yeah, they've tried to expand it into your neck of the woods, and ultimately they will succeed unless we can get the AIC Act passed and stop it.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of what keeps them from doing it up here is simply you know, the land is actually occupied by people, and there's quite a few of them that actually own the mineral rights too, you know.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, not everybody, but there's enough that, you know, if a person doesn't want to sell it, they can put the kibosh on a big operation. So, you know, the underground is certainly more popular up here, you know, because you don't have to disturb the surface as much, and you're more likely to get, you know, landowners to either, you know, sell or lease those rights.
Right, and cooperate. Yeah, you've got more, I guess, more cooperation. Yeah, I remember when, I mean, the underground mining industry was rolling merrily along when I was at WVU back in the 80s and even in the early 90s. There was a mine right there by the Mon, right there by the Monongahela River, not too far out of Morgantown at all.
Yeah, and well, there's a few around Philippi as well.
Well, we just passed the anniversary of the Sago disaster, so.
Yeah, that one of my neighbors, about, I don't know, 2 miles from here, his son was one of the ones that perished in there.
Oh, mercy.
So, yeah.
Well, I was reading the other day, West Virginia managed to lead the nation again in 2013 in coal mine-related deaths.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. You know, and there's a lot of places being opened up that have been abandoned for a while. And, you know, there's a mine outside of Philippi. They were looking at reopening it. It was metallurgic coal. You know, it went out in the, basically in the 80s because of, you know, Reagan and the whole steel thing. I mean, literally, when that mine went out, they were selling metallurgical coal for power plants. You know, and, you know, metallurgic is pretty...
Right, and now it's the exact opposite. They'll take the crap that comes off an MTR operation down here and put it on the world market as metallurgical coal.
Yeah.
And there are countries that are more than happy to have it. I mean, you know, you've got Jim Justice, who sold out to the Russians. You've got Fraser Creek that was bought by the Indians, and the Chinese buy all of the alpha natural resources output that they can get on the boat.
Yep. Well, most of that goes to Baltimore, doesn't it?
I think so, yeah. Or Norfolk.
I don't know. I know here the other day went to the doctor and seen a train heading inland towards the mountains, and it was very very unusual, as there weren't hardly any coal cars on it. It was enclosed hopper cars and tank cars.
Those enclosed hopper cars. I wonder if that was frac sand.
That was my guess.
Because you say it was inbound?
Yeah. Well, you know, coming in from the west.
Yeah. I saw on my last trip to Wisconsin, I saw a bunch of those enclosed hopper cars just parked on a siding, waiting to pull up and be filled up with frac sand and sent elsewhere.
Yeah, these were painted tan.
That's the very ones.
Yep. And then there was just a shitload of the wonderful black tank cars, which I would have to assume that going where they were going, that would have to be some sort of frac chemical.
More than likely. Of course, you mentioned tank cars, and I think about my conversation last night with John Wathan, the Hurricane Creek Keeper. Lo and behold, while we were sitting there talking about how dangerous it is to be sending these tank cars of Bakken crude oil all over the country because they tend to blow up,
yeah.
I had no sooner hung up with him than I got a note from him saying, well, there we were talking about when will it happen again. It happened again, Devin.
right as we were talking in New Brunswick, Canada. One witness said, on our balcony, we can just see flames. Every now and then, there's a huge fireball as if there was an explosion. And that was the village of Plaster Rock near where the derailment happened around 8 p.m. last night.
Now, Canadians will probably get more worked up about that than, you know, people in this country.
Well, they had the Loch Megantic derailment that killed 50 people or so 6 months ago, and so far, not so much.
Yeah. Well, of course, there's the other thing. It's out in the Canadian wilderness as opposed to, you know, they're not going to run this stuff through downtown Toronto.
You'd be surprised. I mean, they're running these things. The rail lines are where the rail lines are.
Yeah.
I mean, in Castleton, North Dakota, that John told me last night that when that one blew up, it had just left. It had just left Castleton, about 4 miles out, and then boom.
Yeah. But, I'm just saying that more than likely, this stuff is coming out of the central or western, portions of Canada. So not likely they're going to send it east. They're going to send it south from there, too.
Well, it's going in all directions. The Lac Megantic was eastbound out of the tar sands area. The Aliceville, Alabama explosion was Bakken crude out of North Dakota.
Yeah,
it really based on the stuff that John talked about last night. It really is quite frightening.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, something that has a flash point and a flash pressure that's basically just open the lid, is not good.
No, it's a disaster waiting to happen.
I mean, from his description, it's basically that has stuff that evaporates off as fast or faster than like acetone.
Yeah, that 40 number as compared to gasoline being 18?
Yeah. I mean, if you ever, say, put some acetone in a mason jar and set it outside in the summer, I mean, that thing will make frost on the jar. Just, evaporating.
And in no time flat.
Yeah. It's pretty impressive. So... But, when you, I don't even know why they bother with that stuff that's that nasty. It just seems to me that they could make more money with the other stuff.
Well, I don't know how much other stuff is left. See, that's the thing we're dealing with here. This is all extreme extraction. There was no reason to ever... It's not like they just discovered the tar sands a couple of years ago in Alberta. They've known they were there. But until recently, it was not worth it to go after them.
Well, arguably, if they had to pay all the costs, it wouldn't be worthwhile to go after it.
Now. Right, right. Now, they... that's the joker in the deck. They get to externalize the costs onto innocent people who then have to pay it whether they like it or not.
I would say more like they get to exterminate the costs.
Yeah. They get to bury their mistakes. Is that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I went on that site you were talking about, the Coal River Mountain Watch there last night, and I was, branching out from some of their links and everything. It's some pretty disturbing stuff.
Oh, it is. And if you go to ACHECT.org, ACHECT.org, and start reading the scientific papers, given what you described about what you have undergone,
I think you'll see a lot of stuff that resonates with you.
Yeah. Well, I can say this much. All my life I've had, real bad allergies, which, that's textbook West Virginia right there.
Sure.
But in recent years, things have gotten a lot worse. A bunch of new food allergies have come up. Now I'm allergic to, corn, wheat, soy, nuts. Can't digest chlorophyll. It's bad news.
And that's been all your life?
Yeah, well, like I said, the food allergies have been a more recent development in the past 2-3 years. But, the other allergies to pretty much anything that's organic matter, I've had for a long time. I'd always had problems with, the grasses and the trees.
Yeah.
Dad took me when he went to bale hay one time, and he looked over there, and my eyes were swelled shut, and I wasn't really breathing, so that didn't happen anymore.
my great grandfather was a farmer, and I remember my grandmother telling me stories of how brutal it would be for him when it was time to go out and do the reaping. Because he had the same kind of response to all of that grain dust.
Yeah. Well, anymore, if I'm in the house, somebody mows the yard, I'm in trouble.
Oh, by the way, just to back up a minute to what you were talking about, how Canadians would respond to things going on there. Asa is in Vancouver, and he just sent me a message via Skype, and he says, "Not a peep out of anyone up here about Loch Megantic, Bob. The right-wing media is more consolidated up here than it is in the U.S. And that's kind of terrifying to hear, because we're pretty locked down here as it is.
Well,
I mean, when 60 Minutes...
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, when 60 Minutes sells out its entire credibility to create a bogus story about Benghazi and then follows it up by flushing what was any credibility that it had left down the toilet on a hit piece, and a BS hit piece at that, about how useless renewable sustainable energy is. Where are you going to go for anything even remotely resembling accurate or objective?
Al Jazeera?
Yeah, that's about where you wind up. It really is. Well, I'll tell you what, Devin, it's been a wonderful conversation, and I hope we will have more of them. It's always good to hear from...
back another time.
It's always nice to hear from another mountaineer.
Well, I'm just glad that you're there. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to make any donations, but you at least have my moral support.
Well, and we appreciate it, and don't worry, we'll keep plugging along, so don't you fret.
But I just noticed that most of your callers seem to be from other places.
Oh yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
This is. I guess I'm West Virginia's little progressive secret.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that's no accident.
Oh, sure. I mean, I don't think Metro News is going to be would be very welcoming to my resume, do you?
No.
Bob and Hoppy in the morning. I can't see it. Because every word, every sentence from me would be, "Hoppy, you ignorant slut," and after that it's all over.
Oh, surely not.
Well, yeah, and don't call me Shirley, because I mean, what a cold. Oh my goodness gracious. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't think you would use that word, but you know. I guess we all have our breaking points, though.
Devin, you have yourself a good evening and stay warm.
All right, thank you.
Uh huh. I hope we talk soon.
Bye.
Bye. And look at that. Another first-time caller survives the ordeal. You too can if you ever care to jump in. A note coming in from Kelly in Calgary. I'm missing a word here, Kelly. Syncrude has been participle on bitumen extraction since the 30s. Oil has to sell for at least $80 a barrel to be profitable. Yeah. They've known about it for a while. But now, with peak oil having been long past, this is when, and this is the same thing for mountaintop removal, it's the same thing for fracking. It's not just that they got all the other stuff, they got all the other stuff, and the price point became worth the effort to bring it out. And devil take the hindmost, as the saying goes. Let's keep it rolling. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
What's happening, Jim?
Nothing. Enjoyed your last caller. And just another example of what can happen when you deal with substances of that nature, you know?
Yeah. And the how much warning is there?
None whatsoever. Basically, it's, you know, as I said earlier, first to go, last to know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed Dr. O'Brien's program this afternoon. He really...
Well, what stark terms he put that whole thing, that whole situation in.
Well, I think it needed to be said. And, you know, when you listen to him, it's... he's a very kind, well-educated, and compassionate gentleman. And it's almost like it's redolent of maybe a fireside chat of what he is trying to say and the point he is trying to get across, you know?
Absolutely. And Jim, maybe you can offer a little validation here. There is nothing like Dr. Bill happening anywhere else.
No, he
is absolutely unique.
Oh, they don't want him to be saying the things he says in other areas of the country.
Yeah, there's a reason he and I both aren't at that radio station anymore.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, now God Almighty, because I mean, you're just totally, anathema to these people who are willing to sacrifice so many individuals and their financial. Health and stability to the private sector. And that's the reason I brought that thing up this afternoon about what happened, you know, with the feds and stuff like that back in the 80s with Reagan and all that stuff and David Stockman. But I really listened to him and I really enjoy what he has to say. And I really think that he is an incredible asset to your organization.
Oh, absolutely, and you know what he did with the PRISM program.
Oh yeah,
the idea of delivering graduate level history instruction and just saying to the world, here, take it, enjoy.
Well, absolutely, and you know, basically, it's there, and there's no excuse if you don't hear it. If you don't want to hear it, you don't want to hear it. But I just hope that it becomes more widely spread and people can begin to think. Instead of just, you know, blindly plod on and just to accept the things that they hear over so many other stations like Radio Rwanda or that, oh, that crap they had on 60 Minutes the other night with...
Yeah, I'm guessing Stuart Varney wouldn't be putting out information like what Dr. Bill did today.
No, but, you know, ironically enough, Don Imus probably would.
Yeah.
And he's pretty much a conservative, but he doesn't give a shit. And he'll tell you that. I mean, he'll just tell you you're an asshole right on the air. I mean, he has, I guess, the security and the whatever to do what he needs to say. And, you know, and he's done a lot of good things, and, you know, with kids with cancer and stuff like that. And he often refers to those three idiots, those three Stygian witches on Fox, the ones that I sent an email to about which one of you is keeping the brain. and all of
God, Jim.
Oh, yeah. I signed it and put my phone number on it, my address and everything.
Large enough so the King of England can read it without his spectacles, I imagine.
That's it. My John Hancock, absolutely, as far as those people. And, you know, they basically just went ballistic over that thing. I mean, they were making snide remarks. This has been years ago when I first saw them. And I think they came into being about 1996, wasn't it?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I'll tell you what.
Because I remember that early on, they must have pumped a blue fortune into the oxymoron, Flush Flimball, to get him to pitch it. Because he used to, this is back when I was commuting pretty regularly, and I would hear him quite often. And, I mean, it was Fox News this, Fox News that. Just constant drumbeat. They were the neatest thing since sliced bread. And then they quit writing the check, and he quit talking about
them. Oh, well, you know, that's what Rush is all about. I mean, you basically have to keep him on some type of retainer or be an annuity to him in order for him to speak favorably about you. And that's basically what it is. Changing the subject, I want to ask you a question here about those ships in Antarctica.
Sure.
Yeah, it's my understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that I think one of the reasons those ships were trapped in that ice is because the decrease of salt in the water.
That and it's directly related to climate change. I mean, that's the thing. It has a direct relation to climate change.
Well, I thought that because they wouldn't have sent those ships in there like that because they have a history of the Antarctic region, and apparently the water has become desalinated to the point where it will freeze so much more quickly and landlock those ships. That's my understanding.
Yeah, because salt water does not salt water freezes at a lower temperature than
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's one thing they have to do is to measure the salinity of the water, particularly in real cold regions and things of that nature, because when that happens and water becomes less salty, it can't carry warmth.
Right.
And, of course, you know, that's one reason that Great Britain and Northern Europe enjoys basically what we call a West Coast marine climate.
Exactly, but even that's out of whack. I guess Britain itself has been, and England and Scotland and Wales have been slammed by nasty-ass hurricane-strength storms, and then Ireland got the crap kicked out of it by some hurricane-like winds.
And that's just unheard of, you know? It is. I mean, normally you don't have those types of storms in that area, and I mean, they can.
I think they recorded winds at 140 miles an hour, something like
that.
I couldn't
believe it when I heard that. That was just incredible to me.
And, you know, to be midnight in Paris and 50 in January, I mean, you've traveled the world some, Jim.
Oh, yeah.
That ain't right either.
No, it's not. I mean, I've seen bizarre climate changes in Germany. I mean, for example, in the morning you could be wearing a T-shirt, and in the afternoon it would be snowing. But, you know, that was kind of normal in certain areas of the heartland of Europe, you know, because...
I saw a post from a fellow in northern Germany just yesterday who was talking about the fact that he was very near to running around in shorts, again, in northern Germany in January.
Mm-hmm.
And then there, as Marty points out, and then there's the mid to upper 30s in Alaska right now.
Well, that just isn't right, and it's going to have terrible consequences, and I can't believe that Robinson's, or whatever his name is, Pat Robertson's mouth about the way he just little these things off. And
well, but he's got an ulterior motive. He's got a vested interest.
Oh, yeah, he's got probably... You say he has lots of investments in stocks and all this crap and oil. And
he's a freaking multimillionaire if he's not a billionaire, Jim.
Which he inherited.
Some of it, but no, he expanded upon it as well. I mean, this guy was heavily invested in, what was it, Barrick Gold Strike Limited?
I don't know anything about his portfolio.
Yeah, I mean, gold mining and then the usual... Hustles, the protein shakes, and the Sea of Galilee mud mask, and you know, if you can get enough people to send you if you can reach 5 million people who will send you $5 million a month, life, you know, that adds up pretty quick, Jim.
Oh, I know. Oh, there's one that you'd love if you can ever reach him on Channel 14, at least it is on cable, and that's Murdoch. Have you ever seen him?
No.
That's the one who wants you to send a seed of $1,000.
Oh, is he working the seed faith street?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because Oral Roberts invented that one.
Yeah, well, he was the disciple of Oral Roberts, and, you know, he always talks about how wealthy he is and how he was so surprised to see how large his house was being shot from a helicopter and how many cars he has, and this, that, and the other. I guess to the point where you almost have to take some type of something like paregoric or whatever if you're going to say listening to that idiot. But, I mean, you know, he looks like... Yeah, you were talking about Satan. I'll tell you one thing. That guy looks like a very bad picture of Satan to me.
Wow, I gotta go find him.
I mean, you gotta see this guy. I mean, the hair is dyed and the beard is dyed. I mean, you know.
There's a beard?
Oh, yeah, he has a beard from time to time, and I'm sure he puts that. Well, what is that hair coloring thing that they sell at the...
Oh, Grecian formula? Just for men?
Just for men. I'm sure he's probably a major stockholder in that, but I mean, God almighty. And
are we talking about worse than Ronnie Reagan?
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, Lee
Reagan. Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, hell yeah. I mean, at least Reagan and Nancy had a whole Clairol set up in the third floor of the White House. I mean, which was paid for by Clairol Incorporated. You know, Nancy's was Chestnut Glow or something like that, and Ronnie's was, well...
Coal Tar.
Yeah, Kiwi Black. But, you know, and then there were some problems about Barber scraping up clippings after he went to the barber, whether or not his hair was dyed. And I thought to myself, who in the would really?
Yeah, but that's Republicans are paranoid like that. Do you remember what was it? Dim Leader a few years back went to Austria, and the Secret Service was, or was it England? And the Secret Service was under orders to catch all of his poo. I'm not saying this for shock value, Jim.
I heard about that. Yeah, I did. I mean, why?
Well, because it could be analyzed, and they would find out that he was on a pharmacopoeia that could knock down a bull moose.
Hmm.
There are a lot of people who maintain that he was heavily medicated throughout 8 years.
I guess there would be exudates in his stools. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, God.
And we couldn't, you know, we couldn't have Al-Qaeda find it, right?
No, not at all. But nonetheless, like I said, I enjoyed Dr. Bill's program this afternoon, and I hope he continues, and I wish him all the very best. And that's about all I have to say. But
well, I thank you, Jim. I think we've got Mr. Stress on the line here, if I understand Jug of Punch correctly.
All my best. Will you please?
I think you just did.
Okay. Well, listen, let me get off here and let him get on.
All right. You take care, Jim.
Good night, sir.
Bye now. And, yes, I think this is Mr. Stress. Is this Mr. Stress?
Yeah, good evening.
Hey, good evening, Bill.
Thanks. I'm just going to say thanks to Jim. Could you talk to one of those guys about hair, helping me grow a little more? Wouldn't hurt, you know.
Well, you know, if only we were working for profit here, we'd have an alternative. You could just dial an 800 number, Bill, and they'd send you some herbal remedies, and you'd either be growing posies or hair, you know, right on your dome.
What was the song that Nat Cole sang about a guy, Nature Boy, was it?
Yep.
Ooh, green hair. Which, of course, is the ultimate thing the capitalists are looking for, something that you grow that looks like money. So you're a real success then. Well, let me break into my sad story. Today we got a thing from the place I'm moving to. It was two copies of my birth certificate. One had my middle initial in it, and the other had nothing. Well, the first one, which was the one from the... was from the, the hospital where I was born. And the second one, of course, was a copy, and it had a... because as I don't know how much you know about Catholics, but we always add the a second name when you're at confirmation.
Yeah, a confirmation name.
Yeah, which I guess is common with some other angle. So I don't know. We think we can fight it off tomorrow, but
what's their hang up?
Well, because you're dealing with a place that deals with HUD, so you have to get that straightened out. At least I hope that's the problem. Otherwise, you'll read about a short, fat man in Cleveland, Ohio, who took a hankering. Actually, being a biblical man, he made a boomerang. God, that's pretty funny. And got even with the bastards.
Oh,
it should be okay.
If there's any pushback at all, Bill, That's when it's time for a phone call to Sherrod Brown's office.
Yeah, I may have to. Because a musician buddy of mine, we went running Friday last week in the snow and took care of all this stuff and sent it in, and then they send it back with the... Which one is the right one? Does it make any freaking difference when the age is the same and the name is the same and the looks are the same? Has this country of ours gone stark raving crazy?
Well, it's paranoia, Bill. I mean, maybe you're a 71-year-old Al Qaeda operative just looking for your chance.
Oh, I got in trouble with that. I'm older than 71, according to them. I don't know. I was January 1st of 43 compared to today is what?
71.
So 71.
Yeah, this is 14, so.
I'm not as confused as I thought, because this thing really has me confused. I never thought I'd reach this stage, you know? It's one of those things.
Yeah, was that a line from Mickey Mantle who said, if I'd known I was going to live this long, I'd have taken better care of myself?
Yeah.
Was that Mantle?
Yeah, well, I think it was Mantle. Of course, in my case, taking care of myself wouldn't have helped much. Oh, I just got some pills. Isn't that nice? Thank you very much. Hold on while
I got you.
Well, you... Oh, okay. Yeah, I can't take them. They break them down into applesauce, because I had a big problem in 60 and 70-something. When good old... who was the guy... He was a nuke guy. He was a nuke guy who was pushing thank you. Getting my nose sprayed, isn't that polite?
Lovely.
A story.
Service with a smile.
Yeah. Who was it? Oh, Linus Pauling. Can you check him real quick?
Sure. Toward the end of his life, he went off on the vitamin C.
Yep. Yeah, the vitamin C, everybody's popping vitamin C's like they were peanuts. And I lodged one in my windpipe.
Ooh.
And I was good. The old lady had gone out somewhere, probably on purpose. No, I'm kidding, of course. And I here I am standing, banging my stomach up against the short sink she had, the sink in the kitchen, or the bathroom. The they have a fancy name for that. What do they call that?
The vanity.
Romantic name.
The vanity.
Vanity, yes. Vanity, yes. So romantic a name for the place where you wash your shavings, you know. It's I never realized it was that romantic. So I almost choked on that pill that night. And ever since then, I've had things about pills. Of course, it could have been singing, too. Singing or screaming or screeching or whatever you want to call it that I used to do for money does have a bad effect on that part of your body. Speaking of which, how did you make out body-wise? You're still with us.
Yeah.
So far, so good, yes. That's the way it operates.
Exactly. You know, the guy passing the 40th floor of the Empire State Building. So far, so good.
Yeah. Bob, you had to use that one. Well, my story about jumping off of high buildings, it's not the jump off the building. It's a sudden stop.
Sudden stop, absolutely.
Yeah. We have to dig out all of them, don't we?
Hey, they're chestnuts. You take them out, you toss them on the fire, you roast them a little bit, and they're wonderful.
Yeah. Christmas time is an amazing time of the year. Every time I see that damn Christmas movie, you know, the classic kid movie for kids. What's it? Christmas Wants a Red Rock.
Yeah, Christmas Story. The Gene Shepherd.
God, every time I see that thing, I think I see my life being reincarnated. I mean, the clothes and the back end of cars hanging in the back of a driveway. And my God, you know, it's a Gene Shepherd, huh?
Yes, indeed.
Is there any of his stuff on collection?
There are places you can go on the internet for Gene Shepherd. There are archives.
Okay. Strange guy.
And in fact, I was gifted some time back with something that just proved to be of inestimable value to me. A member of the Horn family provided me a little CD wallet, just chock full of Gene Shepherd, and I could just pop it in on the way down the road, and it was magnificent. You know, all his radio work.
Funny guy. How long was he on? And how long is he off now? How long has he been?
He's been gone for a while. Let me just see here. Let's see. No, that's wrong. Okay, there he is. 1921 to 1999.
Oh, he made it a little farther than I thought he would.
Yeah.
I remember I saw him in whether it was Playboy or some male humor comedy magazine when I first spotted his stuff. I was just hilariously enjoying the little Orphan Annie ring. And me and my sister, we used to beat the hell out of our mother verbally. Ma, how come you threw away my Tom Corbett Space Cadet sunglasses from the TV show? That stuff would have been worth money. Yeah, right. Sure it was. It was worth nothing, but it was fun to watch. Yeah, so I don't know where I'm going, except that every day that gets worse, my temper gets shorter. And this time, how cold did you get it down there today?
Today was balmy, Bill.
Oh, yeah, it did clear up a little.
We got up almost to 40 degrees. I mean, it felt like summer.
We could get that tomorrow then, but God.
Let's see. Let me just scan back here and get an idea. It has since dropped to 30. The overnight low is about 23.
Ooh.
Tomorrow's high is 45. Friday's high is 50. And then Saturday, because there's no such thing as global climate catastrophe, Bill, Saturday's high is 57.
Well, I'll be. I can remember.
I mean, that just beats cats, you know.
Oh, yeah. I remember fishing on a Sunday in Lake County, and it's like 40 degrees. I was standing on a pier and laughing about it, and then sick as a dog a little later. But that stuff was nasty when it came. I remember it felt like both me and the old lady had pneumonia. And I hadn't tried anything. Honest to God, I hadn't tried, Bob. I mean, you know, I wasn't doing any concoctions in my kitchen, you know. I'm kidding, of course, but I never would have done into something like that anyway.
Well, by the way, you just got a note from Jeremy in Vermont. He says, tell Mr. Stress I wish him well, and I've been thinking about your apartment woes a lot lately. So you are on the mind of many people.
Well, I appreciate it so much because it's so weird. I mean, how many times have I rented 11 different times, you know, up until a certain time in my life, I rented apartments left and right like it was no, you know, and you took all the books in yourself and all the records and all that stuff. And then you got all your friends together over some good beer and donuts and honey baked ham and cheese and things to go with it and a lot more beer, and everybody had a good time and everybody helped each other. That was like the modern type of a barn raising, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah.
You know, we'd all get together and help each other. But yeah, so I don't know what they're going to be doing there. You know, whether there's something in the wind that they just didn't like and they're changing on me, which are really fascinate me, but my worry is not to have anything that's in storage lost, because it's all stuff related to computers, etc., etc.
Yeah.
Because, man, you guys did bad things to me, you know. Wasn't that a line from an old computer, you make me do bad things?
I was thinking about Dennis Hopper, you know, bad things, man.
Yeah, they used a line on this one computer. One of my buddies always had that one, that if you did something wrong, you got a voice telling you you just made it do bad things. Because I got pretty good at that. It took a while to figure out to go from changing TV tubes, you know, to repair. So there isn't much to repair in a computer, really.
No, I mean, there's stuff you can replace. There's not a lot to repair.
No, I found a lot of... one time I moved one and I found nothing but so many damn bad solder joints, I had to get a small low-watt gun out and go to work on it. That must have been... What was the early IBMs? What number did they have in the earliest ones?
Oh, God, I
type,
can't...
Type something or other, I think it said on it. Those were dogfish. Constantly a bad sailor, a bad connection. Hell, somebody sent me a TV to fix one time, and when I flipped it upside down to look at the printed circuit board connections, just about every one of them was bad. Every damn one you looked at had to be re-soldered, or you had to lift the wire and add wire, and it's like, what am I doing this for? Somebody call Dr. Edison and pitch one, would you? It was something, man. It was just... Listen, I'm kind of taken aback by how old I am. I mean, these people make it sound like you're forever old because you went over... you went over 80, for Christ's sake. Whoopee, you know.
Yeah.
Big deal. I hope to get back on soon. I know I have some really good friends that... One of them I was talking to tonight, and he thought it would be the computer would be in place this weekend for him to reinstall everything, you know. Because there's nothing to reinstalling them, really. It's not like the old days, is it?
No, it's all just software stuff.
Yeah. I never thought I'd... In my lifetime... Now, let's put it this way. When I started playing sports, what were the primary sports? Marbles.
Yeah.
Played marbles. And see, if you live long enough, it's just for damn sure as shooting, you'll lose all your marbles. That seems to be the way it goes.
By the way, a little technical help coming in from Randy in PA. IBM mainframes were 1401 autocoder, IBM 360, IBM 370. And
it's 360s in that, yeah.
And he notes the original IBM PC wouldn't run in today's environment. Amazing.
Why are they doing this? Is it just so they can sell more stuff?
Sure.
Or is it that we're demanding the computer do more? But
well, there's an element of that too. But you know, the steady changes, for instance, throughout the Windows history, has been that each iteration requires more processor speed, requires more memory, which in turn makes it possible to manufacture a new, highfalutin computer, which means you get to sell more boxes.
Okay. It looks really good on paper, in other words.
And it looks even better in the till.
Yeah, that part of the paper is what they really like. Yeah.
There you go, exactly. Hey, Bill, it's been good talking to you. I got to roll here because we are fresh out of time, but I hope we'll be talking again soon.
Okay, and tell my friends, any of them feel like talking, it's very easy to find. Just call a local dog track. Take care of yourself.
We'll see you, Bill. Take care. Bye now.
Bye.
The irrepressible Mr. Stress, Bill, calling from somewhere near Cleveland. And that pretty much does it for this evening, this prayer meeting Wednesday edition of The Horn. Thanks, everybody, for all your calls. Thanks, Devin, for the first-time call. We enjoy those. And you made it through. Maybe we'll talk again. It's your calls, it is your emails, your tweets, your Facebook posts. All of these things are what makes this such a special experience. And for that, your finite time, I thank you profoundly. Thanks also for making sure that this stays on the air. Thanks going out this evening to our anonymous contributor, as well as Asa. They were the only ones to help us keep up tonight. We will close the program $80 behind. Hopefully that will clear. Maybe that'll clear up overnight, or else we'll start tomorrow evening in an $80 hole, one way or the other. But we'll be here. Because tomorrow is, after all, Thorn in the Side Thursday. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky and Texas Betsy in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thank you to John Fox. Thank you to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And ACHECT, A-C-H-E-A-C-T, .org, ACHECT.org. That's where you go if you want to help bring about an end to the horrors that beset Central Appalachia daily as a result of mountaintop removal. ACHECT.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.